Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Jenny Lawson is back with a new book, and she's put a crazily grinning taxidermied raccoon on the cover, his arms flung wide like the letter U. So when you read it, holding the book in front of your face, it looks like you, too, have an insanely happy and terrifying raccoon arm smile. How great is that? Jenny is the creator of the wildly popular blog The Blogess. Her first book, the best-selling Let's Pretend This Never Happened, a mostly true memoir, also featured a taxidermied animal on the cover, a mouse dressed as Hamlet. It told of her childhood, the daughter of a taxidermist in Texas. It was very funny, but also dealt with her miscarriage, her depression. Her new book tells what happened after she became so angry at depression, a debilitating illness that immobilizes her like a flu, that she announced she would from now on be furiously happy out of sheer spite. Well, within hours, hashtag furiously happy was trending worldwide, and she decided to write this very funny book about being mentally ill. It's called Furiously Happy, a funny book about horrible things, and Jenny Lawson joins us now. Jenny, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Furiously happy. Tell us more. What does that mean?
For me, furiously happy is about the fact that when you suffer from mental illness, and for me, that's depression and anxiety disorder and all that fun stuff, that so much of the joy of life is sort of robbed from you and that it's not really fair. Mm. And so what I decided is that during the times when I was out of a depression and when I wasn't suffering as much, I would push myself to do wonderful things that would make me furiously happy, not as a cure for mental illness, but as a weapon designed to kind of counter my mind when depression would lie to me and say, it's never going to get better, or the world is better off without you.
Yeah. Well, we read in the book about how you wore your koala suit. Yes, you have one. To go to Australia to try to hug a koala. But what are some of the other things you did?
I have landed on aircraft carriers at sea. I took trapeze lessons. I crowdsourced enough money to buy a taxidermied Pegasus. I have looked into getting an anxiety service animal, except I wanted to do a cat. And then the people who were in charge of companion animals said, no cats. You can have either a dog or a pony. So I actually did look really far into getting a pony to travel with, because I think it would be so fantastic to travel on a plane with your pony.
Telling people, no, this is my service animal.
Exactly. This is a medicinal pony. This is Pony Danza, and he is here to help me.
Well, maybe that's the next book. But meanwhile, you chased tornadoes. You wore a wolf who died of kidney failure. You're only interested in taxidermied animals that had died a pleasant death.
Yes.
To the local Twilight premiere while shouting Team Jacob at angry vampire fans. But tell us about the very serious thinking at the heart of this, that anyone else with any other kind of a disease wouldn't be told to get over it.
When it comes to mental illness, you struggle with it. And when you come back from a depression, instead of getting a good job, you survived it, I'm so proud of you, let's have a walk for it. Mm. Instead, you come back and people feel like you're just lazy. Mm. Or maybe just cheer up. Mm. Or what's your problem? Like, why aren't you doing the things that you're supposed to do? And you find yourself coming back further behind than ever, always feeling like you're never going to catch up. And your mind is already telling you terrible things about you. And it doesn't help that people don't really tend to understand the battle.
So you say, let's talk about it. Let's celebrate it. Let's be transparent about what I'm doing, Jenny Lawson, as somebody with diagnosed mental illnesses, including taking antipsychotics. I want to hear a segment where you write about that, but also one that illustrates the way your mind works. Could you read, there's a couple paragraphs that we've set up for you about the advantages of taking antipsychotics.
Yes. Let me grab that. First off, you can say you're on antipsychotics. This might seem silly, but when you go into the pharmacy and you're standing in line with 20 germy people sneezing all over the place, you can honestly say, Would you mind if I went first? I have to pick up my antipsychotic meds, and I really needed them yesterday. This tactic also works for grocery lines, the DMV, some buffets. The second advantage of being on antipsychotics is that they can actually help. In the time that I've been on them, I have hurt myself less. I feel more stable. The blue men who live in my closet try to sell me fewer cookies, and most of the squirrels plotting against me have disappeared. That last sentence was a joke, but only people on mild antipsychotics will laugh at it because everyone else is afraid that it's true. It is not. Squirrels are real, and they don't disappear no matter how many pills you take. Frankly, I'm shocked at how often I have to explain this.
So, Jenny Lawson, I just want to ask you, look, we understand you have this list of ailments, and including you cut yourself. Mm-hmm. Or have in the past, you have a disorder where you pull your hair out. Rheumatoid arthritis, which is so painful.
Not fun. Yeah.
No.
Don't recommend it.
But still, the way you will go from very serious discussion of antipsychotics till suddenly blue men in your closet selling you cookies and squirrels. And is this what it's like inside your head?
It absolutely is. Which is both really exciting and also very scary to share. What I think is fantastic is so often I will write something and I'll think, no one will get this. People are going to think I'm even crazier than I really am, which is surprising because I'm not really sure you can get there. But it's so fantastic how often people will come and say, oh my gosh, I thought the exact same thing about the squirrels, or I thought I was the only one who wondered why Jesus wasn't classified as a zombie since he came back from the dead. And and so often people will come and say, it wasn't until I read something that you said that I realized I was not alone in my thinking.
But I'm thinking too that, first of all, we're the beneficiaries because it's just hilarious to read. I'm thinking of the time you were just driving along and suddenly you were going to a cemetery and suddenly you realized you were in the middle of a funeral. And because you were in the procession, mistakenly, you felt the need to go to the funeral. And you spend this whole time at a funeral and you get home and Victor, your long-suffering husband, is, you know, I've been worried sick. Where have you been? And you say to him, don't yell at me. I was at a surprise funeral and I'm feeling very vulnerable. And then he goes on to talk about how you shouldn't drive unsupervised anymore because normal people don't allow themselves to get abducted by funerals. It goes on for pages and pages. It is hilarious. But I'm also thinking it's exhausting.
It is absolutely exhausting, but it's exhausting in sort of a good way. And it's not like every single day there's like craziness and insanity going on in my life. There are long periods of time when it's just me, you know, dealing with depression or with anxiety. And honestly, I think everyone gets abducted by funerals. And, you know, maybe not like literally, but everyone ends up, you know, once a month doing something that is absolutely ridiculous that you don't realize is ridiculous until you say it out loud, until you say, oh, I had to take my dog Xanax so that I could relax enough to have a pap smear, you know, and you're like, oh, that's not normal. What? And then you say it out loud and you're like, oh, that's not normal. Oh, okay. And it's the same thing of finding all of these strange, unusual, but also hysterically funny stories that at the time you think, oh, this is mortifying, but it's going to make somebody really happy to read and to say, well, you know what? Here is a warning sign saying do not pass, and she's gone past it. So anything I do is not going to be that bad by comparison.
Jenny Lawson, just one last question. How is it that taxidermied animals are such a big part of your life? Yes, your dad was a taxidermist. We know that. But Rory the raccoon, who graces the cover, you talk about how your husband, Victor, might be on a Skype call and you sneak up behind him and raise Rory the insane-looking raccoon in the frame, or up at 2 a.m. fighting your insomnia, trying to get your cats to carry Rory on their back. What is the benefit? What does it do for you?
The taxidermy that I collect typically is flawed, broken, done in some way that makes you think, what is happening here? What has gone terribly wrong? And in fact, Rory the raccoon is such a great mascot for this book because my friend Jeremy Johnson created him. I just thought, this raccoon embodies being furiously happy. But what happened was, in between the time that I said, please send him to me, I need him, he got it back. And Rory had been involved in this terrible accident. He was taken to Las Vegas on some roller coasters, and he lost like an arm and most of his fingers. And I said to Jeremy, I was like, but is his face, is his smile still good? Is his face still great? And he said, he's pleased as punch, but the rest of him is a hot mess. And I was like, you know what? That is exactly what Furiously Happy is about. It's about being broken, but still ecstatic, about having everything fall apart, but still smiling when you can.
So we have a big flashing neon sign, metaphor alert, metaphor alert.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Rory is you. Maybe Rory's all of us. Jenny Lawson, her new book is Furiously Happy, a funny book about horrible things. Jenny, thanks as always.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, one of her mental health issues causes her to dive under tables at times, in case you see her down there. But she writes that when she froze trying to do her audiobook, she got her courage from author Neil Gaiman, who told her, pretend you're good at it. We say act as if. It's become her mantra. For her book tour information and our past conversation, go to hearandnow.org.